We are live, at least according to this. I'm gonna have to go in and double check. Today, I'm testing everything to make sure it works. Had a slight malfunction earlier in the week, but really wanna see the comments. So thanks everybody for joining. I'm so excited about this. I've been talking about it for a while, getting some people on this broadcast, on this live stream with me. So it's not just me talking to myself. Of course, the chat is awesome, but we wanted to bring in some other people. And so I've rounded up a couple that are very well-versed in technology and will bring lots of value to this live stream. So real quick, I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine, two good friends of mine, actually, Nia, whose name you can see down there inside of the little box, and Matt from the Real World Review. And I'm going to just kind of tell you a little bit about what they do. So Nia is a, what was the term here? Entrepreneur and technologist, not unlike myself. And the funny thing about that is when, you know, we had an old joke going, and that was that when people said they were entrepreneurs, many times that meant that they were unemployed. And in this case, that is not the situation. Sometimes that is the case, though. So, hey, what's up, Beast Boy? Thank you for putting something on there. I wanted to make sure that my chat was working. Like I said, had a little glitch with that last week. Matt is an employee at a wireless store, does repairs like I did myself, but started much earlier. From the age of 14, he has been working on phones, and that gives you what, like 7-8 years of experience already?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
About
10 years, okay. So he just launched his own YouTube channel where he does phone reviews, and because I have a screenshot of that, I do want to go ahead and show that off real quick. So let's go over here and see if I can actually bring this up. Let's see how technologically challenged I am. Nope, that's not working. All right, so we'll have to try this. I got to tell you, this thing is complex. We'll go right over here, and I will screen share this right here. So you can get a peek at Real World Review. You can see that one of his very recent, well-performing videos is how to put your iPhone 8 or 8 Plus into recovery mode. They have changed that procedure. And if you just got an iPhone and you didn't know how to do that, you might be stuck at some point. So that, we were just talking earlier about how you access Siri, right? So that has also changed. Tell us about that, Matt.
Yeah, so they actually, on the iPhone 8 and on the iPhone 8 Plus, it's still the exact same way. You just hold the home button. But on the iPhone 10, you actually have to hold the side button, which on the iPhone 8 and through the iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, and the iPhone 10, they actually call it the side button now. It's not the on-off or the power button. So you just hold the side button, and if you continue holding that, it just stays at Siri, and that's it.
Okay, so just a couple new things to learn with the new phones, as often happens. My, having an iPhone and having that home button go away changed a whole bunch of things, and that will take some getting used to, of course. Yeah. So I kind of gave you the rundown on Matt. Nia, tell us a little bit about what you do so people have an idea of where you're coming from.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mike. Basically, I do software development and website design, and done that for over 20 years and been in the IT field and worked at a lot of different technology companies in the past, and I've started several technology companies that we're currently working on, including things that involve mobile apps and things of that nature.
And beyond that, he does something that a lot of us kind of cringe when we hear happening, and that is he answers my computer questions. So any of you out there who work in whatever field it is that you're in, when someone comes in and says, hey, you do this for a living, now tell me all about that. I know it's annoying and it's nice to have a friend. And I really try to not infringe on that too much and call him 20 times a day and assume that because he knows how a computer works that he can help me set up mine or, you know, write code and program stuff. Although he probably could, but I stay away from that stuff. But it does, doesn't it make you nuts when someone comes in and finds out you work with phones and computers and suddenly it's your job to set up their email and their antivirus or try to get the antivirus off the computer or whatever else it is. Hey, I wanted to say hi to Playlist Gaza, Michael Loftus. Glad you two made it in. That's awesome. We have some cool stuff to discuss. This is the pilot episode of the Thursday evening stream, so hopefully we won't have any glitches, but please be patient with me if we do. I'm trying to make sure everything works. As you can see, I have nothing but green behind me because we've got some limitations as far as the broadcasting software goes, but I'm going to try to get that worked out. Also, I did want to take a minute to say that tonight's episode, and it is after quitting time, okay? So tonight, the episode is brought to you by the Moscow Mule. Feel free, obviously, to enjoy your own adult beverage or not. But if you want to purchase one of these are awesome because these are copper mugs that are coated with food lacquer, so you won't get copper heavy metal poisoning. Also, they come with these little coasters so you don't get this sweat all over the place because these things condense like crazy. And if you don't like ginger beer, you probably won't like the drink. But I'm actually getting to the point where I really enjoy it. It's very cool and refreshing. Okay, so here was the top of the list today is the OnePlus 5T, which will be available on November 21st, and it will have a headset. So I don't know if that's something that a lot of people are excited about. I have to assume that anyone who is buying Apple products has pretty much at this point accepted the fact that you're not going to be using a headset, not the traditional 3.5 millimeter that you had before. So I'm curious as to how Android users feel about that, because obviously the iPhone is not the only phone that's going to go without a headset jack. There are other Androids that, everyone tends to kind of follow what Apple is doing. Does anyone care about the headset jack anymore? I, for one, think it's kind of cool they're including it just because you may have invested a lot of money in a nice headset a long time ago and you'll still be able to use it without any special attachments. What do you guys think?
Well, I think as far as convenience go, there's a lot of people, it's like phasing out CDs. It takes time before that technology is no longer, commonplace. You're not just going to want to pick up a headset jack, or you could be smart and buy 6 adapters and leave one at work, one in your gym bag, and 3 at home for convenience if you want to go that route.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, the lack of the headset jack is not really that big of a deal. It's the only issue that I run into is with USB-C. Apparently, it depends on what phone you have, but it's not across the board. So you may buy like a USB-C to 3.5 millimeter adapter that'll work on, say, your Pixel and then the Pixel 2. But then, a couple years down the road, it may not work on that phone. And it's kind of like what Apple was doing when they were blocking the aftermarket headset jacks. But I think the way that Apple does it is a little bit better just because, you're able to just go out and buy one and you don't really have to worry too much about that. But I don't know, not having a 3.5 millimeter headset jack isn't really the end of the world, but you definitely cherish it when you have one on your phone.
Yeah, I've kind of been a proponent of wireless, Bluetooth stuff forever. I really hate to have cords attached to anything. And, me, as soon as wireless charging came out, I was like, dude, everyone should do this. We should already have it. But obviously there were some bugs to work out there. But I always feel like I get tangled and I will get up and walk away from my phone or my computer, yes, me, and have the headset still plugged in and pull the whole laptop off onto the floor. So for that reason, I probably won't miss them personally. I always wonder what other people do. As far as expectation-wise, and by the way, Matt is the one that I go to when I have software, performance, spec, those kind of questions. Have you looked much at the 5T yet, the OnePlus?
I mean, I don't want to bash OnePlus for it, but I personally, I don't see that much of a difference. The way that it breaks down is it's pretty much just the screen goes from a 5.5 inch to a 6 inch screen. It's still 1080p, still an AMOLED screen. The camera is it's not a telephoto camera anymore. I forgot exactly what they switched it to, but it's supposed to be better for low light images. The processor, I mean, it's an 835 Snapdragon chip, so that's not too surprising that they didn't change it, but just the fact that they, didn't change it is kind of weird. And also, it's released 5 months after they just released the OnePlus 5.
Well, so, from what I can see, it looks like the specs are the same, right? Same processor all around, pretty much?
Yeah, same processor. Literally, the one of the cameras has been changed. The other one stayed the same. There's no waterproofing. And like you said, there is a headset jack, but I mean, that's no different from all the other OnePlus devices.
I wonder if they're just getting into that thing of, hey, we need to race to put something new out, because that seems to be the cycle that we're locked into, you know?
Yeah.
Which will be a good segue into the iPhone topic, which I'm sure is going to be probably what gets people here. And I'm going to try not to make these titles and keywords clickbaity. I want to really focus on this stuff, but this is what people are talking about. So and Nia, this is a good one for you also, because we were talking, you're still rocking the 6S, right?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Still got answer, Jack. But we were talking, you said, hey, you know, should I upgrade to 11.1.1? Oh, by the way, it's 11.1.2 now, which is a patch apparently to fix the problems that the iPhone 10 had going from room temperature to very cold temperatures outside, which is bizarre. Apparently it was a software. They're saying that this fixed the problem. So if you upgrade this new patch, you won't have to worry about, oh, the solution was if you go out into cold weather and your touchscreen doesn't respond on your iPhone 10, you have to click the lock button, turn it off, turn the screen off and turn it back on, and then it starts functioning again. I guess that was a big deal. Of course, at this point, everyone's going to look for any flaw that they can find in whatever device comes out. We know that's going to happen. They did push a patch to fix that problem, but we will also have 11.2 supposedly coming out pretty soon, which is supposed to have some big changes in it. Do you know anything about that?
No, I've stayed away from iOS 11 entirely. Actually, I continue to just look at feedback and review, ask other people about their experience, and overall, I'd say that most people don't seem to be happy with their upgrades. So, I've personally just chosen to hold on. In fact, I know several Apple employees that also have held off on upgrading on their 6S. So.
Well, oddly, you're pretty much due for an upgrade, right? I guess the term would be your phone is paid off at this point if you have the same.
It's paid off this month, actually. That's funny. Yeah, so I made my last payment this month.
Are you thinking about going to a newer iPhone, I guess is the question.
You know, I think I'm going to hang on to it. I don't know if I can make it a whole year just because the way the iOS prompts are to upgrade to iOS 11. It's like, okay, you cancel. Well, then type in your passcode and we'll automatically update it between the hours of 3 and 4 a.m.
Right.
And yeah. So, you know, you just literally touch the fingerprint button and you're doomed now. So I don't know if I'll make it that long, but, you know, I'd say I'm not in a hurry to upgrade. So yeah. I am due. I'd like to be on the latest OS. I always do, but at this point, I'm pretty happy with my phone the way it is. I just fear about all the, like Apple in the past, they've made requirements, app requirements, that everybody has to upgrade their app to utilize certain functionality in the new operating system at a certain point. So when they do that, the new versions of every app are going to only be iOS 11 compatible. And at some point, you're not going to be able to upgrade a lot of your apps. So, you know, if you like app updates, and that, you know, that's going to be another bottleneck that's going to entice you to upgrade to iOS 11.
Right. Playlist, I'm going to call him Playlist, Playlist Gaza, asked a good question that's related to this right now. And that is the green vertical lines that are showing up on the AMOLEDs for the iPhone 10. Obviously, that is a thing. We saw this. They were actually pink before, but we saw this happening with the Galaxy series. And now that the iPhone 10 has an AMOLED screen on it. Matthew, you're in the store every day. Have you seen anyone come up with one of those?
I have actually only seen one iPhone 10 come into the store, and it was brand new.
So it's a little early probably to see the direct effects, but you've been following this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that, and it's not too surprising. I'm more surprised that when the AMOLED, well, actually it's an OLED screen, or I don't know exactly what it is, but either way, it's the fact that it is an OLED screen, it leads me to believe that, hey, if you add too much pressure to it, it is a piece of glass, it's going to crack, and it's going to do what like the S3, the S4, and the S5 would do, and the whole screen would go black. So I was thinking that that would happen, but it doesn't look like that's happening, especially with that green line. It looks like you will still be able to use the phone if it does get cracked. But without cracking it, the fact that it's bringing up the green line, I mean, it kind of looks like exactly what was happening with the S7 Edge. The S7 Edge did have an issue with the pink line going through, and a lot of people were having an issue with it. But I think because it was kind of limited and, you know, not really too much in the spotlight, that not a lot of people cared about it. But since it's the iPhone 10, since it did just come out, and since everyone had to wait, and so much is going on with the iPhone 10, that's all that people care about. So even one little tiny issue that happens, even if it happens to like four or five people, they're still going to blow it out of proportion, which I don't think it's right. Blown out of proportion. I just think there's so much focus on it right now.
Right. Well, I think that probably what some people would want to know about this is, why does it happen? And, you know, understanding the nature of OLED screens, we do, you know, we can pretty much say for certain what happens when there's physical damage to that display is basically you are allowing oxygen to get into those layers where the display is. And once the oxygen gets in there, it just pretty much destroys the screen. It doesn't generally take very long. I got a small crack in my AMOLED on my S6, and within a couple of hours, the whole screen just started to go. Now, when we talk about the S7 Edge, what we were seeing, as far as we can tell, actually had to do with the flexible cable at the top of the screen. So there wasn't necessarily physical damage to the display, but there was a problem somewhere in that cable, somewhere between where the image is generated and where it gets sent. You know, it goes through a certain path. There's a connector on the board that the entire display plugs into. And from that connector to the display, there seemed to be a problem. And, you know, when it was a repair, a lot of times we found out that people were putting adhesive in the wrong spot, and those flex cables are so paper thin that if there's any pressure on them, or in some cases there wasn't any pressure in a certain area, we'd see that start to develop. But in addition to that, we know that Samsung had a lot of these screens come off the assembly line with a defect that caused that. So people had never broken their screen. They'd never had it, you know, never had it replaced before. It was the original screen with no physical damage, and it was generating that line. Of course, at this point, you would, you know, you'd be under warranty, obviously, if there is in fact nothing in the way of damage to the phone that they can, you know, put on you. Pretty much, it's going to be very complicated if you dropped your phone and cracked the screen, because even if that damage is unrelated, your warranty is going to be pretty voided at that point. And as much as I hesitate to ever recommend that people buy protection plans and insurance on their phones, I can tell you, if I was getting the iPhone 10 myself tomorrow, I don't think that I would opt for AppleCare. You know, $200 and then another $29 for a screen. I can do a lot better than that myself as someone who fixes phones. Obviously, if anything else goes wrong, more than likely it's going to be under warranty. It's going to be a factory defect. So I'm not worried about that. But if I could get something comprehensive that would not only cover the damage, but also cover loss or theft to the iPhone 10, that's probably the one that I would go with. You know, if my carrier offered that sort of protection, I would seriously consider that if it was reasonable. Now, again, $200 out of pocket for AppleCare seems like a bit much, but, you know, 20% of the cost of the device. And anytime I've sold protection plans in, you know, my career, it's always been a roughly 10% of the device value for the plan, or, you know, a small number of dollars per month that you paid for it. But with the 10, in the short term, you should be covered by the warranty. When we're going to have to really start worrying about that line appearing on its own is going to be when we come up on the 1 year anniversary of the 10, when people are starting to not have a warranty anymore from the factory. And at that point, I think I might, you know, really strongly recommend that you have something to fall back on in case, because this screen is going to be much different than any LCD that we've ever seen on an iPhone, because it is OLED. And without a lot of competition in the marketplace, I think that those replacement parts are going to stay at a pretty high price point for quite a while. Let's see. I just saw, and this is awesome. Playlist Gaza says he refurbishes screens, and it seems to happen when the connection between the flex cable and the display is stressed, which is strange to see on an undamaged phone. And yeah, that's exactly what we've seen, is that those cables are just so sensitive. And, you know, I have seen some situations where people There was an old habit that people had. They would put Captain tape on the back of every component there was on the flex cable. And on the 7 series, you don't have the room for that, nor do you need it in most cases, unless you've lost a sticker or something along the way. But that was causing the problem. But like you said, a lot of times nothing has gone wrong with the phone in the first place. It hasn't been damaged, and you just get that line appearing on the screen. And it's not unlikely that we may see that with the iPhones for a while. That's my guess for the future. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an expensive one to fix, though.
I think was the what's Apple's cost to replace the iPhone 10 screen? It's the it's like $575, I think.
No, I believe it's $279. And
$279.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. But I'm almost positive it was $279 for the iPhone 10.
You guys are talking about without Apple. Yeah,
Apple Care, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, without Apple Care, I want to say it was $279, but you might want to double check. That's through Apple, obviously. And, you know, depending on your options, the thing is, our cost, people that repair these phones, the cost on that dropped down.
The other damage, if there's other damage aside from the screen is $279 and other damage is $549.
Yeah, if you break the glass on the back of that thing, good luck.
$549 to replace the glass. Gotcha, on the back.
Well, it depends on how you look at that. It's $549 to, you know, replace whatever needs to be done on that phone. So if you break the front, you break the back, you break the camera glass, you break all that stuff, it's $549.
Mm-hmm.
So if you break just the glass, there's a very high chance that that customer will continue on with that. It is a little frustrating that it's, you know, it's not that simple to fix. It's not like an iPhone 4 or iPhone 4S where you can just, you know, 2 screws slide off the back and then you're done.
But yeah, $549 repair cost is, I think, a good reason to invest in, like you said, an insurance plan, Apple Care or something. Yeah. Might even be worth the Apple Care.
Yeah, well, I definitely want something that covers theft if I'm buying a $1,000 phone. That's going to be...
I totally agree.
I don't drop phones very often, but I can absolutely see people going after that phone, even if they know there's an iCloud on it, you know? So for that reason, you know, that alone, as long as it's reasonable, I would certainly consider investing in that. Now, if you rushed out and ordered your iPhone 10, and I know at least one person that did... and found out today or within the last 3 days or so that supposedly Apple is planning an iPhone 10 Plus. The word going around is that there are a certain number of people who are saying, I wish I would have waited. And why would Apple do this? You know, we kind of assume that there's going to be a plus version of every phone. But this year, the way they did it was funny. They did the iPhone 8. iPhone 10, skip the number for whatever oddball reason. And the choice for a Roman numeral really threw everyone off. And I think that was just to kind of get a little more conversation about it. You know, one more thing that people can say, oh, you called it the X, it's the 10. And, you know, I don't care. Call it what you will. But if you stood in line or you pre-ordered that and you got your iPhone 10 and you found out there's a 10 Plus supposedly coming out, how much regret do you feel? You know, are you going through selling your phone? Unless you're in a phone shop who sells phones, it's kind of a pain. I mean, Nia, you've done that before. I remember your eBay fiasco where you're going through selling your phone online.
But if you buy your phone from Apple, can't you just swap it out and just start your payments over again, essentially, at their, do they let you do that? Can you upgrade anytime, or is that?
Yeah, that's only if you have it set up through Apple. So, yeah. Like, if you buy it from your carrier, you're kind of screwed.
Okay.
So then you're reselling your phone on the secondary market and buying another phone, essentially, if you need one.
Yeah.
If you want one.
Which is really a headache, you know, for people who don't like to meet up at, I don't know what, Starbucks or something, and hope that the person you're handing your phone or your money to doesn't run away. And if they do, you can catch them. Online, we have that little... the customer's always right thing going on. So when you try to sell things on eBay, there's a certain percent chance that someone's going to try to take advantage of you. So, you know, interestingly, but not a surprise at all, it seems like one more reason that people could justify going directly to Apple for everything, you know, whether it's to buy a phone, sell a phone, fix a phone. You know, they really want to bring the customers into their stores. to make them wait in line. No, to obviously have an opportunity to upsell, which is a little frustrating for people like us who are trying to help our customers, and we don't have that big brand name and all that advertising behind us. And in some cases, we are the better choice. But that all comes down to education, and that's kind of one of the things that I hope to accomplish with this live stream was to have people within the industry come on and talk about it. And the more people we tell, the better. And that's everything from phone repair options to right to repair, which I wanted to mention also. And unfortunately, like I said, I don't have broadcasting software on here. I wanted to put some still images and links up here, but I will add this stuff down to the video description on the bottom. There is a movement in, I want to say, about 14 states in the US right now. And the long story short is that manufacturers, not only within the phone industry, but farm equipment, medical supplies, you name it. You know, there are all sorts of companies that are building software into their devices that makes it very difficult for anyone to repair except for them. So that kind of monopolizes that market, and it really limits the options that you have. You know, if you have a problem with something and there's some sort of software built into it that would prevent you from using your screwdriver or whatever sophisticated tools you might have, and just blocks you out because you don't have access. And there's, you know, some arguments on both sides. Obviously, there's proprietary info on one side, but in order to kind of monopolize any product so that the consumer doesn't have any options, it's kind of crazy. And we always make this comparison to the automobile industry. You know, a long time ago, these manufacturers started building software into their cars so that if you had a problem, you couldn't just go to a mechanic. You had to go to the dealer who was authorized and had access to the information needed to make your car run again, which is insane. And we had legislation that came out. Some people went to court, said, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to go to, you know, the Ford dealer or the Chevy dealer or the Honda dealer every time I have a problem with my car. You know, what if at some point they say, hey, you can't even change your tire anymore? You know, there's really got to be a point where you say, stop, that's enough. And that's what Right to Repair is all about. Again, I will put the link down in the bottom of the video description after the stream is over with. For now, if you want to check it out, it's repair.org. You can get more information on what this movement is all about and what you can do to support it and hopefully help educate other people, because this is something that gets zero press. You will not hear about Right to Repair on CNN or Fox or local news stations. I mean, maybe once in a blue moon, some independent somewhere might bring it up, but for the most part, there is no motivation by any of the media who gets their advertising dollars from these big companies. There's no reason for them to call these guys out on what they're doing, which is unfair to the consumer. So you have to look for the info. You know, you're not going to find it anywhere else except for somewhere like here where people have a voice, which is what I love about YouTube and I love about social media. I understand there's a lot of noise out there. The signal to noise ratio isn't that great. But this is something I believe very strongly in, and I hope that anyone who comes across this stream will check out that link. It's repair.org. I'm going to stop there because I'll keep going on about that, and I want to make sure that we stay on topic. So five, you know, it's funny. The OnePlus 5T, every time I bring it up, people go, yeah, well, okay. There's just no fanfare. There's no excitement. It's not an iPhone. It's not a Samsung, and that's really, it seems to be all that matters nowadays.
Hey, it is a Samsung screen, though.
True. It is a Samsung screen, and that's why it looks awesome. But, you know, to be fair, Apple did quite a job with the Retina display. Their LCD technology for the last couple generations has been quite impressive. And I'm going to upload a video next week about an iPhone 7 screen. I put a Tianma screen onto my iPhone 7, which is an aftermarket company that makes LCDs. They're not the original Apple LCDs. It's a third party that makes them. And I got to tell you, I can actually see the difference. And my eyes aren't perfect, but when I went to look at HD images, it's definitely not exactly the same quality that you get with an OEM screen. And that was going to be one of the other things on the list here. You know, we hear this term OEM thrown around all over the place. In fact, I'll be honest, I got suckered in by it a long time ago. I went to a mechanic who wanted to charge me a ridiculous amount of money for a repair. And I said, yeah, that seems like a lot. And he said, yeah, but we only use OEM parts. And I actually said, oh, well, in that case, I guess I can justify spending twice as much as this seems like it would be worth. And at the time, I really didn't even understand what that meant. I mean, I knew OEM meant original. and that it was a higher quality. And they told me that they bought their parts from Lincoln and not somewhere else. But you know what? Turns out I could have got the product anywhere else for a fraction of the price. So, you know, sometimes we gain something with OEM and sometimes we don't. What are you guys' feelings on that term in general? When people say OEM, what does it mean anymore?
I think if two products are at the same cost, then you're going to want to go with OEM. It has a benefit, a perceived value, but money has a higher perceived value. And, you know, it, as much as, you know, a little difference, as much as $3 or a dollar, you can be $5 can depending on the cost of the product. Now, you know, if it's a $500 product, you're going to want to buy OEM if it's $5 difference. But if it's a $10 product, I mean, what's the difference? You have to look at things, I think, on an individual basis.
I don't know. Depending on what it is.
Yeah, but I do think it has a perceived value. If you have two products, you might can weigh the original manufacturer part versus a, you know, a knockoff differently.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, working where I am and the car that I drive, the question is, do you really want to have OEM again? Because we have people come in here with cracked screens and they say, hey, do you have the OEM screen? And then they, you know, if we tell them we have an aftermarket or an OEM screen, they ask, well, what's more durable? And the point is, it's still glass. And if you broke your OEM screen, regardless if you put OEM or aftermarket, if you drop it again, you will break it. Same thing with car parts, though. I mean, for example, I drive a BMW and there are certain parts in there, which I don't understand why they make it out of plastic. They crack. And then it makes you wonder, well, should I go with another company that might be able to make the product better? Or should I go with the same product that I had that broke after 20,000 miles of driving or, you know, whatever it is. So it all depends.
You're talking about upgrading though. And so in my scenario, I'm just saying that you're finding two identical products. It's a car filter and they both appear to be the same, similar quality. And in that case, maybe it might have a connotation, but of course you can always upgrade everything, right?
Yeah.
And a superior product.
I imagine that's what it comes down to. What gets me is that people throw that term around so loosely without really necessarily being honest or understanding what it means. But like you said, if you're getting the same quality for a lower price, probably doesn't matter if it's OEM or not. And as Matthew pointed out, you might actually be upgrading by buying the aftermarket. And it's interesting. I'm glad that you said that because one of the things that gets me is this whole Gorilla Glass thing where people think their phones suddenly have a magical shield around them that protects them from any impact. It's, you know, any way you look at it, glass is glass. It can be tempered, which makes it more hard, which also means that is more brittle. I mean, diamonds are very hard all too, but if you hit them with the hammer, that doesn't mean the hammer is going to break, obviously. You know, the pressure is a factor when it comes to this stuff. And when I see people do things like drop tests, you know, you see a new phone comes out and they drop it from 3 feet high and 6 feet high without any real environmental controls over the angle of impact. You know, we might drop a phone 20 times with no problem, which we hear from customers every day. And then the one time they drop it from 3 feet onto the carpet, the whole screen explodes. Well, obviously there are some micro fractures that they're not seeing when they have those initial drops and they keep thinking, oh, my phone's really strong. I can drop it on the concrete, no problem. Kick it across the parking lot. And then, of course, they set it on their nightstand and it gets what we call nightstand damage, which is another funny one. Nia, you may not have heard this term already, but you can probably imagine what it is. We have customers a lot of times who come into the stores and somehow, mysteriously, their phone was sitting on their nightstand when they went to bed, but when they woke up in the morning, the screen was broken. So we're not sure exactly how that's happening.
It's a real phenomenon. It's a thing. Gotcha.
Nightstand damage. Yeah. Little gnomes that come out in the middle of the night and hit your screen with the hammer, but you hear that so often. And then, you know, it's easy to say, well, I have a glass window right here and it's been standing for the last 20 years and it doesn't seem to break on its own. But, you know, in many cases, what we're looking at is a temperature change in the phone itself. Phones will radiate different amounts of frequency, radio frequency and Wi-Fi signal. And when they're doing their little thing where they reach out and they check with the phone tower and they download your email, these very small changes in temperature will often cause things to expand and then contract. And over time, those microfractures that we can't really see on the screen can end up being a liability. And I suspect that unless the screen was installed improperly in the first place, that's probably what we're seeing happen.
That would make sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like that theory. I have one that was damaged by the nightstand also, right here.
You have
the repair yesterday, and they woke up the next morning, and all of a sudden it was like that.
That's got to be a real drag, you know. You don't see that you think you're taking care of your phone, and you know, you wake up to some expense
overnight.
Yeah, I mean, I have had some issues with. I mean, with people that I could, for the most part, trust that actually did happen. I had someone that I knew that was close to me, and pretty much what happened is they had their tablet set up on the nightstand as like an alarm clock, and they woke up in the middle of the night for whatever reason. I think an alarm went off on something like that, and they pushed it too hard, and it was on one of those smart cases, and it just fell flat and smashed into the screen. On the ground. It was
tragic.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to jump over to the chat here real quick. I actually missed a comment. My apologies earlier on. So let's get caught up on these real quick before we continue. I didn't want to go back and forth, but at least every few minutes we can take a break and answer anything that's coming in. So Beastboy 777 says, "Hey, is it worth buying an iPhone 5 that the screen and battery doesn't work for?" Is that 250, 250, or 25? I'm confused by the number because it says 2.50. I would buy almost any phone for $2.50 if it was at least a phone. But if you're talking about $25 with a bad battery, sure. Oh, the battery and the screen. Well, if the screen doesn't work, meaning that there's a screen there and you're not getting any functionality on it, that could be a pretty serious problem. If the screen's cracked, not a big deal. You can get an iPhone 5 screen super cheap and the battery, probably the both of them for $20-$25. But it really depends on what kind of damage it is. If you're talking about 25, if it's 250, obviously he's not talking about 250 because there's no way anybody's paying 250 for an iPhone 5, right?
I mean,
I would not think.
Maybe. If it doesn't work at all, I mean, that's... Sounds pretty worthless to the owner at this point.
Yeah. What do you guys say it's worth? You know what I recommend is something that I do quite often to just kind of get an idea of a phone's value is I go to a website called flipsy.com. So FLIPSY.com. I can also put that in the video description. And what this site does, they have a very sophisticated, I don't know, Nia, would you call it an API? Because this website basically goes out and checks values at other websites. It goes to eBay, it goes to Gazelle, it goes to Amazon, and it looks around and shops these sites and aggregates that information onto one spot.
That would not be an API. If the other sites were accessing it, then it would be an API. But it's an algorithm.
Okay.
And it's an aggregator. Like you were saying, it's aggregating information.
Okay, so Flipsy actually
crawling other websites. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. They'll go out and check other websites, and you can get a general idea of what the value is for your phone or what you can expect to pay for it. So it's kind of like the Kelley Blue Book of phones. And I actually had a guy come through the training who was working for that company, and they sent him to phone repair training so that he would be able to write articles and, you know, really have a good understanding of what phone repair is all about. It was really cool. Really cool guy too. I want to say his name was Ryan. I might be wrong on that. Let me back up here just a second. Can I speak German? I cannot speak German. I wish I could help everyone out. Last week, someone asked me if I could translate, and I am an underprivileged child. I was raised with only one language. I wish so much that I could speak any, you know, anything else would be awesome. In California, Spanish would be a huge plus, but I have very limited knowledge of that one. So no, I'm sorry. I can't speak German. I wish I could. I'd like to talk to you about cars. drinking beer from a copper vessel. So earlier I showed this little mug, which I'm loving. You see how sweaty this thing is? It is still ice cold playlist. And all I did was throw some ice in there. The only thing is it sweats like crazy. There's something about copper that I guess it's a good conductor, but it also somehow holds its temperature. I don't even know how it works. My girl just leaves a lightning to auxiliary adapter with her headphones. Hasn't had an issue. Fair enough. You know, I was only irritated by the fact that you had to buy the dongle. That I don't know. It just they could have included that. You know, that would have worked, right? Vertical lines refurbishing. The refurbishing, really interested to hear about. Tiama screens are good, but like you said, often the backlight color may be bluer and the pixel response is slower, making it look slightly blurry. Yeah, I did notice a little bit on the scrolling, but just looking at images, I pulled up some 4K video on YouTube and it did not look 4K to me. So definitely a perceptible difference in the image there. And probably iCloud locked at that price. Good point. So if he's looking at a phone that won't turn on, if you can get the IMEI off of the back and it's somewhat reliable, you know, obviously people can change out the logic board, so you never really know what you're getting for sure unless you power up the phone and look in the settings and see what the IMEI is. But yeah, you want to make sure there's no iCloud on it, and hopefully it's not blacklisted also. That's another problem that we see quite often with phones. And actually, we should probably get into that a little bit. So probably iCloud lock. Any recommendations for an unlocking website? There are lots of unlocking websites out there. What's probably the easiest one to use? And this kind of changes from one week to the next. Matthew, can you think of any that would be just an easy interface to set up? Because I know there are a few that we've used, but they kind of require you to jump through a lot of hoops to make it happen. Is there a 247 unlock.com?
Unlocks 24/7. I think that's what it is. Yeah, let me look it up real quick. There's stuff like that, but then you can try, you know, places like eBay.
Oh, for unlocking?
For unlocking, just because you have, you know, you have eBay kind of backing you up. So if they ever say like, "Oh, we couldn't get your code or whatever," at least you can go to someone and say, "Hey, they took my money, you know, I need a refund," or whatever. And I'm pretty sure they're technically not even supposed to, you know, do stuff like that on eBay. So, you know, eBay should be on your side with that. But I mean, as for unlocking websites, I don't know any off the top of my head.
Nope. Good point. Look at the chat. He said, are you talking about carrier unlocks or iCloud unlocks? Big difference there.
That is true, actually.
if you're talking about iCloud unlocks, no. I'm just going to say no. There are so many yeah buts out there, but they just generally don't work. If they do work, it's short term. They're not reliable. There are so many people out there trying to take your money. If you're talking about iCloud unlocks, I do not have a reliable source. Carrier unlock in Trinidad. Yeah, so if you're doing a carrier that is outside of the U.S., sometimes that ends up being an issue, depending on where you're from. If you're in Trinidad, geez, I'm trying to think of where to direct you. I was going to say you could go to gocellphonerepair.com and use the unlock page, but I don't really deal with international unlocking too much, so I wouldn't be able to help you there. But unlocks247.com.
Yeah, that's what I put up there.
Why is my mind's going blank right now? There are 20 guys spam me all day long. There's so many unlocking websites out there. If you're doing a one-time unlock, though, the thing is they are going to charge you a premium because most websites want you to set up some sort of an account and have credits with them. And the ones that don't are generally going to be resellers. Oh, SwiftUnlocks.com, if they're still around, we're good. There was one called LockPop or PopLock. I think it was LockPop.com. Oh, the phone is from Sprint. Oh, just changed the whole game.
Actually, I'm sell it.
If it's from Sprint, you should be able to unlock it pretty easily on any of the ones that I mentioned. So there's unlocks247.com. There is, what did I just say, guys?
You said LockPop reset.
LockPop? PopLock? What?
SwiftUnlocks.com, LockPop.com, I think, if they're still around. I'm not sure that they are. And like Matthew said, you can always go to eBay and get that kind of stuff. And you're fairly well protected when you make a purchase on eBay. And that's why I often tell people, don't hesitate to buy on eBay. Just be careful what you sell, because in many cases, eBay will side with the customer if there's any sort of problem. And if they don't, PayPal probably will. And if PayPal doesn't, then their credit company is going to be their third option. So you have a lot of ways that people can kind of get out of giving the money to you that you are owed. Whereas if you're the buyer, you have, you know, unless you have a history of taking advantage of people, you shouldn't have too much to worry about. So I'd probably give that a shot, but try the ones that I mentioned and hopefully they can help you out. Cool. All right. So Nia, we had some stuff we were going to bring up here and I didn't take notes on all of it. So what else do we have for the world of computers? Anything exciting?
I don't know. Was that in my list?
I don't think it is, but you know what it is? This. And this was something that I don't know who it was. When my chat was messed up on Monday, one of the questions that came through, which was an excellent one, and that was, what's the worst device you've ever worked on? And I want to pose this question to you two also. Nia, I know you're not working on phones 24/7, but we did do something very cool. I walked Nia through an iPhone. What was it, a battery replacement?
Yeah, battery replacement. That's right.
So we were on over the phone. Time. He is 500 miles away, and I walked him through the battery replacement on an iPhone, which, as you know, with that adhesive is not an easy thing to do, and we did it using FaceTime, which was really cool. But for both of you guys, are there any devices out there, specific models or manufacturers, that you pretty much will not touch if someone asks you to work on them?
I would say probably battery replacements on pretty much any iPod, you know, whether you're talking about a classic, the iPod videos are a little bit easier, but like an iPod classic, iPod Nano, even the iPod Touch. I mean, it is possible on the iPod Touch, but there's somewhat of a high failure rate when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good call. In fact, I'm kind of relieved that the iPod Touch 4th Gen finally went away, because I'll work on the 5th and 6th, but that 4th Gen, it's like once you open them, they never want to. You can glue them together. I understand that, but yeah, they just don't always want to close. And one of the few devices that I've had just quit on me for no apparent reason was an iPod 4th generation. And it was the largest storage available that they made on the thing. So it was the most expensive one, of course. Yeah. And I switched out a screen, very standard, plugged it in, everything turned on, it was good to go. I closed it up, and something on the board just died. And I have no idea what it was at the time, but there was a burning smell and it just never came back on again. And I talked to a lot of people that work on iPod Touch, and they said that had happened quite a few times. They just put them back together and sometimes they just don't work. Like, that is not a good answer for me, man. I don't want to offer a service with a certain degree of, well, it just might not work after I put it back together. So good call. I hadn't thought about that one. Nia.
You know, You walked me through the iPhone repair. I don't do a lot of cell phone repair in particular. So there's nothing that I would have repaired. I would repair anything. I would take it to a qualified professional.
As far as computer stuff, anything in your
microcomputers, not much to fix on the little tinies, on the little tiny form factors. I mean, those things are really hard to make any repairs, even a lot of Macs. Difficult to make any repairs on a Mac yourself. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, LCD.
MacBooks especially, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Upgrade the memory and that's about it, right? Sometimes.
Basically, yeah.
Although exactly. Now they're soldering everything in on the inside of them, which is nuts. Thanks, Apple.
Yeah.
So, Playlist Gaz is telling me people say they hate Surface screens, but you've never had an issue with them, which is impressive, I have to say, because I haven't talked to a single person. Now, I have not done a Surface Touch Pro or Surface Touch anything because I haven't had the opportunity. But everyone I've talked to said those things are glued together and they're a nightmare to take apart and get to put back together. But if you are not having any problems with them, I'd love to know where you're at, because I'll send anyone that has that device to you. And I'm very impressed. If you're able to get those to work, awesome.
I have to disagree. I would say we've worked on maybe about six different screens, you know, depending on which one it is, when you're talking about the Surface Pro 3 or the Surface Pro 4. And I would say about like five or six of them I fixed, and I only had one that came back with touchscreen issues, but it ended up being something with the driver on the computer itself. But I personally have never had any issues with replacing the screens on those.
No kidding. That's new to me. Now that I know, I can send them to you also.
Yeah. I mean, I personally have a Surface Pro, or just a regular Surface, Surface 2 RT. I changed the screen and I waited too long and the battery died, and now I need to get a new battery for it, but it's a RT device, so it's not really worth it. So, I mean, that's the only issue that I've run into working on Surface tablets. But other than that, I mean, I haven't had any issues, knock on wood.
All right. Here's another one. How about the worst customer that you've ever had to deal with?
Should we talk about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's
probably not.
I mean, the chances of them actually seeing
it. Let me complain about criticize the worst customer I've ever had. Yeah.
Okay. I will tell you about an interesting experience that was, I wasn't angry about, but it was the one of the strangest tech stories I can think of. There was a lady who was probably, I'm going to say in her 70s, maybe. And she came in with this is years ago. Okay. She came in with a little flip phone and wanted us to fix it. We got her flip phone going. She was happy and she left. And then she came back a few days later because she couldn't hear the ringer on the phone. So I took a look at the phone, turned the ringer back on, and it was working fine. And she was happy and went on her way. Now, about 2 or 3 weeks later, she came back again and asked me, and this isn't really, I don't have any bad feelings toward her. It was just a very unusual thing. And I kind of started to get it later on. She came back a few weeks later and the ringer wasn't working again. And she was very frustrated because she had to come in before to show me. Well, obviously what was happening is she was picking up the phone and holding her finger on the button. It had to be the only way the thing's going to turn itself off. And I showed her where that was. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I feel silly. I can't believe I came here and bugged you again. Thank you very much." And she left. Now, that was the last time I saw her not in a bad mood, because after that, somehow, she decided that we had repaired her jewelry for her. And just to set the record straight, I don't work on jewelry. There's nothing about the store that I was in that would give anyone that indication, but she was convinced that because we do soldering, that we soldered something onto this ring of hers and we had it. And I had to explain to her, you know, we don't do that here. We don't fix jewelry. I haven't worked on your jewelry. Well, of course, she recognized my face and she knew I was the guy that she dealt with. So I must have her ring. And I said, "Wow. You know, sorry, look, you're mistaken. It must be down the street somewhere else." And she left. Well, she came back about 4 or 5 times with the same story and no recollection of the fact that she had been there before asking me about her ring. So I don't know if this ring was missing for a few weeks or a few decades, you know, it could be any of the above. And I really didn't know how to handle the situation because she was by herself and she was driving around in her car and really probably wasn't completely sure of where she was at. So at that point, it just became more depressing, you know, than frustrating. And I had to go through this routine of telling her over and over that I did not have her ring and I hadn't worked on it. And eventually she stopped coming into the store. I hope she's okay. I hope somebody's taking care of her. But it was really just a very bizarre thing. I wanted to
be you were like a victim of mental illness.
I guess, you know, I mean, I wanted to put up a sign that says, "We don't fix jewelry here. I don't know where you're
just ringing." To make sure when she comes to the next time, I'd be like, you know, they have a sign that says they don't do jewelry. So
they have a disclaimer at the front door. That was literally the strangest one. So one of the strangest ones. Okay. So question, you guys remember at one point in time, you could get a phone for free or at a very inexpensive rate. You know, you could go in and buy a 99-cent phone. And by the way, I'm not affiliated with them, nor am I plugging them. But apparently there's a deal going on at T-Mobile on the shopping day after Thanksgiving where you buy one, you get one free. Of course, you have to add a new line to the account. And guess what? You cannot get an iPhone 10. That's not included in the deal. But I thought it was interesting. They have the iPhone 8, 7, 7 Plus, Galaxy S8, S8 Plus, Note 8, S8 Active. Sounds like they're trying to get rid of some galaxies here. LG G6, V30, and V30 Plus, I'm sure there's some fine print on there you want to read, but apparently if you activate a new line, you can buy one, get one free on any of those models, which if it's the iPhone, it seems like that would be a really good deal, right?
Sounds very generous, yeah.
If you walk away with 2 for 1 on one line and then sell the other phone or keep it for spare parts, as you won't be wanting to replace the back out of pocket on that thing.
Cheaper to do that.
So back in the day, though, we would get phones for free or we would pay a very small amount of money to get our phone with an activation because the carriers made so much money selling airtime and activations. Remember the activation fee? You guys might be too young for that.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Oh, I just signed up for Verizon. I still have to pay an activation fee.
I have to pay to buy your airtime from you. That's a funny one.
Yeah.
Well, at a certain point, the carrier stopped subsidizing phones. So you don't get your phone with your plan. They'll give you a convenient little financing thing. But even though it doesn't seem like it's much, that $30, $40 a month over a 2-year period adds up. So we're paying for those phones now. It doesn't seem like we've experienced a huge drop in pricing unless I haven't been paying attention, but you would think that there's a whole lot of extra money because the carrier doesn't have to put out $500-$600 upfront to give you a phone. Do you think that they've kind of made up for that in other ways? It's been invested back into the network. Have you seen a big change in your rate plan? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that, I still actually, when they were trying to be more competitive and all that happened, I got it on a great rate plan with AT&T, and I know that they've actually increased prices and they've aggressively tried to get me to switch to one of their new higher rated plans, which would put me back to almost the same price I was paying when the phone was included in the plan. Actually, it's about $20 difference.
So you're grandfathered into the unlimited data. Is that what it is?
The unlimited data. And at one point, they were being really competitive to Verizon. And so they literally offered me a $15 a month discount, something like that, onto my phone plan. And so I've just hung on to that plan, which makes it affordable. Between that and then I pay Apple for my phone financing. I just went that route this last time. Normally I always got my phone through my phone provider. And I do think there's just an increase in overall network costs. Infrastructure. I mean, everybody has a phone now and everybody wants high speed bandwidth.
Yeah. The only issues that I have is, sure, it's cool that you have like unlimited data and all that stuff. I personally was on the T-Mobile Simple Choice plan and that was awesome. Everything worked. I had 5 gigabytes of personal hotspot. I had unlimited data, like truly unlimited data. And we got switched to the T-Mobile One plan. I wasn't, the one who made the decision, but we were switched to the T-Mobile One plan. And now even probably this video, if I wanted to stream this video on YouTube right now, if I did 1080 or higher, all of a sudden it starts to buffer. And that is, something on T-Mobile, something on AT&T, Verizon, regardless of who you have, it's going to do that. So it's nice that they're giving out these plans, but they're not really, I personally don't like them. I don't like the new updated, new unlimited everything plans. As for the pricing for the phone, I've always been a firm believer that you should just buy the phone outright. There's no reason to be locked into anything. Just, if you can afford the phone, just buy it outright. And if not, obviously you'd go with the financing, but there's still a lot of people who think that financing is really bad, which in a way it is, because it's another way for them to trap you into an agreement for 2-3 years or whatever it is. Or if you lease the phone, you have to give the phone back or pay it off. But by the time you get done with the lease, you're like, why would I want this phone?
Right.
So they end up trading it back in, and then that company makes money on top of that because now they trade it in and then they send it to, an insurance company or whatever, and they get money from that or however they do it. I don't know if they just sell them refurbished or what, but they definitely get their money back when you trade in that phone.
Yeah, I wanted to put one more thing. There was one more thing in here that I thought was interesting, and that is, are you guys familiar with SquareTrade? So we were talking about phone insurance and protection plans and stuff like that.
No, what's that?
They're actually pretty awesome for where I work. It definitely makes it easier for people wanting to get their phone fixed.
Yeah, so this is a plan that you can add on at the point of purchase, I believe, is when you have to do it.
I think it's within 30 or 60 days.
Okay, so you buy a phone, and SquareTrade is a third party that offers you some sort of protection plan, and they'll pay to have your phone repaired. And I want to say they had it at Costco, didn't they? At one point, they might still have it. But we would get customers who, you know, once you establish yourself as a reputable repair center, you go out and find all the SquareTrade dealers, people that sell them at point of sale, and say, hey, if you have a problem, we can fix your phone. And when they start sending you their customers and the customers don't come back complaining, you just get a stream of business coming from SquareTrade. And they also had an affiliate program that they promoted online. You can actually use them if, I want to say, if you're on eBay and you purchase a phone, you can actually add on SquareTrade or some other third party. It was SquareTrade at one point. And that will protect your phone after you purchase it, you know, should something else go wrong. Well, I've been kind of trying to keep track of Asurion, SquareTrade, all these companies that offer protection plans on phones and see what they're doing. And I don't know what this means, but SquareTrade is actually dropping their affiliate program. So they are not going to be incentivizing anyone to push their, or at least not affiliates to push their plans online. So I wonder if there are some changes going on with that company. I have a feeling we'll probably hear something in the near future. But on the other hand, there is a big push by Asurion right now trying to get they're, you know, basically being sold through the dealers. Verizon's official insurance company is Asurion, and I'm sure the employees get a real nice little spiff there. We did when I was working at GTE back at the time. You know, you sell on that protection plan. Of course, back then it was $3 a month, so it wasn't so hard to do. And then I think it went up to $5. But at this point, this is one of the challenges that we face really in the repair industry, is that even if a cell phone dealer knows that the best option for their customer is to go to your store to get their phone repaired, if they're getting a spiff from Apple or Asurion or SquareTrade or anyone else, and that is what the, you know, corporate says, this is what we're promoting, those employees really don't have a choice in the matter. You know, they can't say, hey, you know, go to this other third party because they're really, they do really good work. They're going to say, go to the official repair insurance provider to get it fixed there, regardless of the quality. And I can't speak for now, but I can say that historically we've seen some of these phones being fixed by insurance companies, and they don't have the same kind of quality standard that we do because they don't have to see the customer again. You know, when you're in a store and you fix something for someone, if there's a problem, they come directly back to you. If you're working in a big tech area, you know, in some three states away, and somebody sends you 100 phones a day to fix, you're not really worried about the customer coming back to you to complain. I'm sure they have some quality assurance issues, but I'm really interested to see what directions that, you know, what's going to happen with that. The insurance right now actually seems to be, in many cases, or in some ways, I should say, better than AppleCare, which is interesting because we know Apple wants to have a big stake in, hey, if something goes wrong with your phone, bring it to us. We have AppleCare. They push that plan, you know, when they sell it. But we might find something that costs less in the long run elsewhere. And here's the other thing, and I forgot while I was on the topic of Tianma and what is it, Haltech or whatever the third parties are that make the iPhone screen LCDs. What's going to happen when you take your phone to someone who repairs it for you? Are you going to get an OEM Apple or Samsung display? Or are they also going to start using these aftermarket LCDs? Because in order to keep profit margins high, you know, in many cases, it makes sense for a business to do that. And I wonder what we're going to see coming back from them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really difficult because when you're dealing with an insurance phone, it doesn't entirely mean it's going to be a horrible repair, you know, coming from a repair stance, because we'll get customers that bring in the phone that have been, they've already been swapped out by, you know, whatever insurance company that they have. And then we see it and we'll see either a third party sticker on the back of the phone, or it'll say refurbished by whatever carrier or whatever, you know, whatever that company is that refurbishes them. And sometimes whether it's doing a screen or changing out the camera, or especially if you're doing like a local repair on a Samsung S3 or a Samsung S4, it may make your your repair very difficult or, you know, very easy, just depending on what they do. So I think that itself kind of goes into the whole, you know, what type of parts are they using? Because they're definitely, at least for certain phones, they aren't using the same quality screens as, you know, a company like Apple or Samsung would use.
Right.
And sometimes they're just, they're set up to fail. I mean, the other day I did a repair on a customer's phone. He had a Note 5. And when I opened it up, there was a date stamp on there. It said October 14th of this year. And the microphone had already gone bad. And there was a sticker on the actual flex cable where the microphone goes. And I assume that they changed out that cable, had a faulty microphone, sent it out to this customer. And now he had an issue with it. You know, he probably bought it off someone else because the carrier he was using wasn't the original carrier. And now he's dealing with this issue that should have been covered because at that time it was less than a month old.
And instead, that's the biggest headache.
I had to fix it. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. It has been an hour, so we should probably wrap up. I want to say thanks to you two for coming on. Nia, our entrepreneur and technologist, and Matt from Real World Review. That's a tough one for me to say. You should check out his channel. I will put it in the video description. He has just launched recently, but has some really cool high quality reviews, which I know is what people like to see, is a nice clear camera shot of the phone and some unbiased opinions on, you know, what you like about it and what you don't. So that is cool. Unless you guys have anything else to add here, I'm going to end the stream momentarily.
Yeah, seems.
No, we're good. Thanks for having me.
All right, cool. Thanks. Awesome to have you all both on. Awesome for everyone who came in here in the chat. I think there's one last question in here that just popped out from playlist. He said, did that microphone fault end up being a logic board issue or just premature mic failure?
So, if you're talking about the Note 5, when I took it out, it actually had a dent in the microphone. So what I believe is it might have been a faulty issue. Weird to see a dock mic issue twice. What I believe is it probably wasn't the microphone. It might have been like a charging port that was the issue. And then when they refurbished it, they put a new charging port on there because they probably don't solder ports on there. They probably get the entire... If I had a cable, I would show you exactly what it is. But if you look up the Note 5 charging port, you'll see exactly what it is. It's not just the actual piece that they solder. It's the entire cable assembly with a bunch of antenna connections, the front touch buttons, those connections, and the microphone on there too. So what I think is that microphone might have got damaged somehow. And I mean, they're just... they're a refurbishing company, so they just sent it out, and if there was an issue, it would come back, and if not, you know, to them, they probably don't care too much.
Well, if you saw a dent on that thing, that sounds like physical damage.
But, it's internal, so I don't know exactly how that would have happened.
Bizarre. Something in the factory was angry that day, maybe. Right? hey, the tech couple is on here in the chat. Hello to Corey. Came on late, it looks like. That's cool. Hey, guys, this last Saturday, I did another live stream, which kind of is what got me excited about this. It was on a channel called Easy Computer Solutions, and the tech couple was on there as well, and I've got plans to get them on here also if they will agree to come on. They're a very interesting couple. They're basically, as obviously, a couple that games together. So if you can imagine, and apparently both are pretty good, which is impressive because we don't find too many female gamers, obviously. And I think we see even fewer couples that game together. So that is one of the ways to live the dream, I think. I wish I still had the gaming skills that I used to think that I had. Well, I was definitely better before than I am now. Although Ania turned me on to another addictive game yesterday, which I'll probably start playing a little bit.
You're welcome.
I'm going to try to stay away from it. Man, it's killing me. Don't have enough time for all this stuff. I think that's it. So a Real World Review. Nia, I hope you'll come on again. Also, we are actually working on another project that I'll be announcing in the future that I think a lot of you will enjoy. Also, just kind of beyond tech stuff or more primitive than tech stuff or one of the two. Awesome. Hey, I'm glad to hear. I definitely will contact you two probably on your channel. That's probably the easiest way to do that, have you come on. This is a lot of fun. I think that's it. I got to wrap up. I actually have to take off anyways. Hey, thank you for coming. I really do appreciate it. This is going to just get better and better. Thanks for everyone bearing with me. Like I said, I've been plagued with tech issues, and I had no idea I couldn't use my software here. So all you get is green screen today. But I promise in the future I'm going to work that out so we can get some slides up here and make everything look nice and smooth. Oh, and I do want to leave you with one tech tip for everyone who is into phone repairs. And I do not speak from personal experience because I haven't had to do this. But if you do, I saw a iPhone 7 with the charging port being replaced on it. And the long story short is this: take the board out and plug the charge port into the logic board before you put it back into the phone, because trying to line that thing up when it's already adhered to the surface, you are probably going to put a lot of stress on that cable, and it's not an easy thing to do. So again, I did not discover it. I'll try to figure out who it was and give them credit, but it was great information to have. Thanks, everyone. We will see you. If you come back, I will be on again Monday, 2 p.m. every Monday, live streaming, and then we'll have some new guests or possibly one or both of you guys again next Thursday at 6 p.m. Have a great one.